We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the UNI Panther Point of View. Tune in each week for a deeper point of view from UNI coaches, student athletes, and UNI insiders. Now, here's the voice of the Panthers, Gary Rima.
Hi, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of the Panther Point of View podcast. I'm your host, Gary Rima, the voice of the UNI Panthers. I want to remind you, do not forget to download and subscribe to the Panther Point of View podcast from wherever you download your podcast. Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or at UNIPanthers.com. On our Panther Point of View podcast, we get a deeper point of view from UNI coaches, student athletes, and administrators. On today's show, we're going to talk with Tanya Warren, head women's basketball coach at the University of Northern Iowa. Coach Warren, 14th season at the helm of UNI Panther women's basketball. And Coach, I want to start right there. When I say 14th year as the Panther head coach, how does that sound to you? How does that hit you?
Wow. It's honestly, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. It's been an incredible journey. I think anytime you're surrounded with amazing people, past and present, it makes coming to work every day worthwhile. And it has certainly been an incredible journey.
And maybe it's not fair to ask a coach this, because I know you've had just tremendous memories and accomplishments and players. Is there something that just really stands out, though, maybe an accomplishment or something that's happened in those 14 years?
You know, it's hard to, I think winning our first Missouri Valley Conference championship and then our first tournament championship were very big, but probably to date would be getting that at-large bid in 2017.
Oh, yeah, just you've done some things that have just never happened before in UNI Panther women's basketball, and that's exciting. When I mentioned 14th year as the head coach, the other thing that hits me, Coach, is the staying power, the longevity, the commitment that so many coaches at UNI have. I mean, I look at Coach Farley in football and Coach Jacobson in men's basketball, Bobby Peterson volleyball, you in women's basketball. What is it? What is it about you and I? Because I know there's had to be some phone calls, some opportunities, some things for you and some of those. What is it about you and I that keeps you there and keeps this program moving forward?
Well, I do think it's the family atmosphere. And I think, again, when you're surrounded by good people who are fully on board with your vision and want to help you continue to move the program. You know, 14 years ago or 13 years ago when we took over, our vision was to build a program, not just a team. And when you have staff and young women who buy into that and want to be a part of that. And it's about family and getting through the good, bad, the indifferent together, and in not only developing young women on the floor, but developing them on the floor and them wanting to be a part of that. You can't help but want to be in that type of atmosphere, in that type of surrounding, because everybody wants the same thing. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that everything goes the way that we think it should go or we want it to go. But I think what sets us apart is we get through good, bad, and indifferent together. That's what I think sets us apart here at UNI.
And we'll talk about some of the players from last year and this year and what this season looks like. But you mentioned your coaching staff, and I want to go to there. You've got a longtime veteran associate head coach in Brad Nelson. What's that mean to you and the program to also have those assistant coaches, associate head coach, stay with you and work with you from season to season?
Well, it means everything. Brad has certainly had his opportunities and is well deserving to be a head coach. He's put in his time. He knows the game, and he is a huge part of why we have been able to be successful and why we've been able to sustain success. But he too is bought into the family atmosphere. It's developing these young women, again, not only on the floor but off the floor. And that's what we do, and we feel that we do better than anybody. And when you have people who believe in that and trust in that, and you know if you have to leave for an emergency or you're sick, it doesn't miss a beat, you're in the right place. And it certainly doesn't miss a beat.
What's the rest of your staff look like?
Coach Finley is going on his third season and has been a tremendous asset to us in terms of his knowledge, his energy, his ability to recruit and make contacts has just been a tremendous asset to our program. And then Charisse Burrell was our graduate assistant, is now our video coordinator, played in the Valley. Interesting, talk about a small world. Her dad and my brothers and I all grew up in the same circle, so I've known her family for a lot of years. And then Darian Hutchison is starting her second season with us as our director of ops. So we have a great staff. We enjoy each other. We have a lot of fun. We offset each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we balance each other extremely well. Just a fun group to be around. And honestly, truly family, truly family.
UNI Panther head women's basketball coach Tanya Warren in her 14th season at the helm of UNI women's basketball, joining us on our Panther Point of View podcast. 14th season, and there's never been one quite like this, Coach, with the COVID-19 virus and everything else that's going on. But one exciting thing is you now do have a start date to this season, November 25th.
And we could not be more excited. You're exactly right. None of us have seen anything like this. You know, my parents are 83, and they have never seen anything like this in their lifetime. But one of the things, you know, I think during the pandemic, is crazy and as abruptly as it was to the end of our season, it did force us all to slow down and again, appreciate the things that sometimes we lose sight of because we're just fast paced. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? But it was extremely hard to end the season the way we did. We thought we were playing pretty good basketball. And then you go in the summer thinking you're going to have time with your team. And obviously you don't get that time. But to be back and to be able to be on court with them, oh, I mean, we're kids. We're like kids in the candy store, just being able to be back and hear the ball bounce and instruct and go up and down. It's been very, very exciting for all of us.
Let's go back to the end of last season when you were playing in the Hoops in the Heartland Tournament. It got canceled as you were in practice at the Tax Slayer Center. You guys were playing great basketball going into the tournament. You had that dominating win at home over Drake. That had to be a tough way because you guys, you were going to be a postseason tournament team.
It was extremely hard. You know, I remember it like it just happened. We were finishing up practice in circle, ready to break away from practice when we got the news. And you immediately feel bad for your seniors. You don't go anticipating it's going to be your last time with them. But, you know, it was hard. There were tears. We certainly didn't understand it at the time, but as we was able to get away and really better understood the seriousness of this virus, looking back, we know it was the right call for many reasons, but your heart hurts for the overall body of work that you know your team put in. You know your seniors were itching to just suit them up one more time. And you're right, we were playing really good basketball. We were in a good rhythm. We had a great amount of confidence. Our chemistry was good. And to have it abruptly taken away, it was hard. But certainly, looking back, it was the right call.
One thing they can't take away from those seniors is the way they closed out with that senior night win over Drake. That's got to be, as you look back at positives and really good things that happened for that team last year, that has to be right there near the top.
No question. I mean, as I told them, the blessing is we ended our season with a win. Not every team can say that, and not every team gets to say that at the end of their season. But for us to be able to play the type of basketball that we were playing, end our senior day game at home against Drake, and play the way that we played, definitely a blessing in disguise and one that I will always, always remember for many reasons.
Well, now you've got a November 25th start date for this 2020-21 season. What can you tell Panther women's basketball fans about the non-conference part of your schedule?
Well, as of right now, we're waiting on a couple of games, but if we was to open today, we would open at home with Creighton. Right now, that's for November 28th. We're still trying to work out a couple of different things with Iowa and Iowa State because we actually was set to play them prior to that actual start date. We're waiting on to see if we're actually going to be in a tournament that we were scheduled to be in with Oregon State, Idaho State, and Oklahoma State, a great tournament. We're at North Dakota State. We will play South Dakota State here, hopefully. That would be December 12th. We would have University of Nebraska Omaha here December 9th. And then we're waiting for a game that we think is going to stand true. We would be at Wichita State on December 6th. And then we open conference play at Illinois State on December 31st. So just a couple of things we're waiting on to finalize our non-conference schedule. But anything after the 28th seems to be set in stone, and we're excited about that. And again, another very good non-conference schedule for us.
Yeah, really challenging, really tough, but you got a great team coming back too. The Missouri Valley Conference part of your schedule, that's official and set and ready, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. We would open at Illinois State and Bradley December 31st.
Did it change much from what the original Valley schedule was going to be prior to the pandemic, or did it pretty much hold true to what you were going to see if we didn't have the pandemic?
It pretty much held true. I'm curious to see, though, because what you're starting to see is a lot of conferences are playing a couple of conference games in early December and still having a window for non-conference. We have a Missouri Valley Conference meeting tomorrow, so I'm curious to see if that comes up. But, you know, you don't have a large window, but what a lot of conferences are doing is opening up where they're going to play one or two conference games in early December. Then they'll have a 2 to 3 week window for non-conference games. So, well, I'm curious to see where we go, but as of right now, we would open up on the 31st at Illinois State.
How tough does the league look this year?
The league, well, it was as good as it's ever been a year ago. It'll be extremely strong again with obviously the nod going to Missouri State, having all but one starter back, and then Bradley has all but one starter back. Indiana State was very young, has everybody back. Drake will always be good. Illinois State, Southern, obviously ourselves, the league will be very, very good. And as I've always said, you have to be able to hold serve at home and then win a couple on the road if you want to put yourselves in position to compete for a regular season championship.
And you've got two all-conference players, three starters, and your four leading scorers off last year's team back. I got to believe expectations are going to be high this year for this team. how do you build on all that? How do you approach that?
Well, you know, our approach is as it is. It is high expectations, and it should be. We all should be extremely excited. I think we have a very good core back. We've added some really good freshmen. And our approach has to be, how much better can we be? And we felt we left some games on the table a year ago in conference play that honestly ended up hurting us. But we have great leadership in Carly and Megan, both all conference, both have had a really good summer, did a terrific job of leading our team through some uncharacteristic situations. Nicole and Bree, you know, I like to say Nicole is our steady Eddie. She does a lot of little things for us. I thought Bree had a really good year, especially defensively, and started to become more aggressive offensively. I thought Cam was terrific down the stretch. We're expecting great things from her and Cynthia, both. You know, it's a big year for Kiana Barney. Kayla Morgan's had a really good summer. And then you get into Sarah McCullough, who ended up redshirting last year due to a personal situation, has had a good summer. I'm really excited to see where this team can go. You know, it's got to be one day at a time. We have to understand the importance of consistency. I'm looking for continued leadership from Carly and Megan. We have to play with a little bit more poise and pace. But I'm expecting this team to do a lot of good things as long as we can control what we can control. And if we can do that and continue to come to work and understand the difference between winning and losing games ourselves and really embrace that, we have a chance, because I tell you, this freshman class will add a really, really good mix to what we feel is a very good core coming back.
Tanya Warren, head women's basketball coach at UNI, joining us on our Panther Point of View podcast. And Coach, I want you to talk about that outstanding and huge freshman recruiting class in a moment. But man, when you're going through some of those returning players this year, Carly Rucker, Megan Maz, Bree Gunnels, Nicole Kroger, Cam Finley, Cynthia Wolf, and more. I mean, that's, you've got a really strong nucleus back to help lead this team, don't you?
We really, really do. And that's where, as a coach, when I look at this freshman class has a great core who understands what to do and how to do it and how to win at this level, to learn from. And that's exciting to get them in that mix, but also it's going to allow them to learn and flourish from kids who have already been a part and understand what it takes when it's their time and they get this year under their belt and their time to lead. the next freshman class. So they have a great core to learn from. And again, they all have done a terrific job of embracing our young kids and bringing them into the fold.
How about this freshman class? I mean, you got Green and Buffelli and McDermott and Sherman. You know, what a talented group is coming in to join those upperclassmen, Coach.
You know, I've said on paper, and everyone likes to remind me, this is the best class on paper from top to bottom that we have signed. You know, I think we hit it out of the ballpark in terms of every position. They're extremely talented. They're athletic. They bring great versatility. They really love the game. They're proven winners. Not only are they complements to our core, but they're complements to each other. And that, too, is extremely exciting. Not only are we looking to do great things this year, but we're looking to do great things for years to come as well with this class.
Do all the, you think all the incoming freshmen suit up and play? Do you redshirt? I mean, that there's so much talent there and talent, you know, coming back. How do you handle all that?
That's a great question. You know, every time I talk about depth and all of those things, something ends up happening. You know, you go from 15 all of a sudden to 9.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, I'm extremely excited. And I think this freshman class has done a really good job of mixing with our core, and our core has done a really good job of mixing with our youth. We would like to be able to play a lot of people. Playing time is earned. I think when you look at this class and the positions, you know, Maya McDermott is a true point guard. It allows us now to move Cam, who played backup point, and it allows us to move her to her original position, which is the two. It allows us to give Carly a break. We have great depth, and my vision is being able to play a lot of kids and wear some people down, but more importantly, being able to go to our bench and there not be a drop off.
Exciting times, no doubt about it. You know, speaking and with this great freshman class coming in, recruiting has to continue because your kids are always graduating and moving on. How do you do the whole remote recruiting thing during this pandemic? How has that gone?
It was gone back to old school where you're doing everything online and through video. But you know, for us, it's been good. We're actually have been a little bit ahead of the curve. I can't actually comment on it, but we are done with our 21 class and have two verbals in our 22 class, and we're extremely excited about those young women and the opportunity to join our program. But you know, it's continuing to do your homework early and often, making phone calls, evaluating on film. It's not the same as in person. And the NCAA did move the dead period back till January. So we're not even going to get out before January to see our recruits and to see high school basketball. So you're going to have to really rely on your contacts, film, and high school coaches and all of those things, and do your homework early and often, and just continue to build great relationships.
One thing they've talked about during this pandemic is a lot of companies are finding out that their people are productive and can work from home, but you don't see college recruiting going that route, do you, where it's all remote? Mm-hmm. And once you can get back out and see the kids and in person, you want to get back to that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a big difference with seeing kids on film as opposed to seeing them in person. You know, sometimes, honestly, and we had to watch a lot with this summer, and sometimes the angles were bad. You couldn't tell numbers. They didn't have the score up. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't go the way it goes in person on film. So just being able to get in and watch is a completely different ballgame than watching on film, to be quite honest.
I want to just quick jump back to the schedule this year. You're able to start November 25th. You mentioned it looked like the 28th could be your first regular season game, and then a great conference schedule to go with a really competitive non-conference schedule. What Panther fans want to know are we going to be able to get into the McLeod Center and see games live and in person, or do we have to watch it on TV, the computer, listen to Chris Kleinhans Schultz on the radio call? What do you see happening with the fans being able to come in? What's the latest?
You know, that is a really, really good question. I don't know. I think a lot's going to happen based on what happens with football and how football is able to do with, you know, the teams that are now playing in the SEC and the Big 12 and the Big 10 now, how it's going to go with them. I certainly hope that our fans get an opportunity to get in and see all of our sports. I think they want that. I know we want that. Our kids want that. And it does make a difference. But we will adapt however we need to and be ready. But we certainly want to have our fans in the McLeod Center.
Something else I wanted you to talk about, and we just had some tough things society-wise that have happened, whether it's the George Floyd issue or what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, or Atlanta. We've had a lot of turmoil out in public, but I understand your team has come up with Love People T-shirts. Does it have to do with some of the social injustice things that are going on, or what's the Love People T-shirts about?
Well, Rose Simon Ressler, who graduated and was terrific in our program, graduated last year, is working for a nonprofit organization in Dubuque, and they actually designed those. And we went through a 21-day challenge, racial gender equity challenge in the athletic department, and we had a choice whether we did it as a team or with the athletic department or with other student athletes, and our captains wanted to do it as a team. We did it as a team, and Gary, I'm going to tell you, it was one of the most powerful experiences I have ever experienced in terms of the people listened, people learned. We were open. It was a safe space. We talked a lot about what was going on, and we was not going to sweep it under the rug. We had some tough conversations. We continue to do that because it's really important that we educate ourselves, we educate each other, and we understand that while our skin colors may be different, our hearts still beat the same color blood. And that's where the Love People, in talking with Rose, that is a part of that. That is something that we preach, we talk about, and we want to walk. But in order to stand up, you have to know where you stand. And it's something that we're going to continue to learn. We're going to continue to embrace. We're going to continue to talk about and love each other for people and not judge for the color of our skins or our sexuality or those things, but love each other for people and nothing more and nothing less.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And those young student athletes, there are future leaders, and they can have a huge impact moving forward. That's great stuff, Coach.
Thank you.
I want to end with this. More on a personal note of Coach Warren. I understand that you are a classic car fanatic. where did that get started? And do you have some classic cars? What's that all about?
Well, I've always growing up, my dad always he always bought and had new cars. I mean, it was almost like a yearly thing. And I loved old cars growing up. My mom loves old cars. I love the uniqueness of them, and just have always loved them. I love going to old car shows. They have a beauty to them. And I have a 66 Mustang that I was very fortunate to find and buy, and it's very special to me. It's a 66. I was born in 65, and so it's a lot of fun. I drive it in the spring, summer, and then I put it away in the winter. But it's just something that I grew up loving and have always loved, and enjoy being able to go and just you talk about being in dreamland, going to an old car show. Boy, you talk about something of beauty. It is something extremely beautiful, and there's some gorgeous old cars out there. Very unique and very, very well done. Very well done.
Is that 66 Mustang, is it purple or is it red? What color you got? It
black? It's gray. It's gray and black.
Okay. All right. Stock, or do you have some Coach Warren customization work done to it?
No, it's all original. I had it painted. It was gray, but I had it painted a little bit of a different gray, and I get a lot of compliments on it. So it is a very pretty car. The guy that I bought it from used to be the president of Viking Pump, and he took very good care of it. Matter of fact, he said to me, I don't have to sell this. I'm only selling it because I don't want to put it back in storage. If I sell it, great. If I don't, I'm okay with it. I just want to make sure I get it in good hands. So I was extremely thankful that he was willing to sell it.
Sounds like it's in really good hands. By the way, I got to tell you, during this pandemic, I got hooked on a couple of Netflix series. One was the Rust Valley Restorers. Out of British Columbia or something, and they restored old cars. You would love it. And then there's another one, West Coast Customs.
Yes.
I didn't realize I was kind of a big old car fanatic. I got hooked on those series. Watched every episode.
Yeah, there's some really gorgeous ones out there. There's several here in Cedar Falls.
Yeah.
Either see or have come across just in driving, but there are a lot of pretty cars, a lot of pretty old cars. But you know, Leno has a garage full. I always like to look at his old cars. He has every one you can about imagine.
Yeah, that's right. He's got quite a show about
yes,
that.
Yes, he does.
Coach, great stuff. Great catching up with you. Excited for you to get your 14th season started at UNI. Best of luck, and we'll certainly be following you. We'll get you on again down the road. Want to talk with some of your players as the season moves on. But have a great new season, Coach. Best of luck.
Thanks, Gary. Stay safe, and we appreciate all you do for us.
There she is, Tanya Warren, head women's basketball coach at the University of Northern Iowa, on her Panther Point of View podcast. I want to remind you, do not forget to download and subscribe to the Panther Point of View podcast from wherever you download your podcast: Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or at unipanthers.com.